Hello, welcome to podcast number 95, I believe, of the Blind Boy podcast. I'm happy to say that this week I get to open with a piece of prose that was submitted by Hollywood actor Michael Fassbender. Michael Fassbender has sent in a short piece of, he called it a poem. I personally think it's more of a piece of prose or even a short essay. So before we begin, I'm going to read out Michael Fassbender's piece of prose, which doesn't have a title. Elon Musk flew me to Jupiter in his rocket. No one has seen this rocket yet. Only me and Elon have. We landed on a sea of gas with an atmospheric pressure thousands of times greater than that on Earth. The sun was much larger than it was back home. Elon informed me that the temperature was 24,000 degrees Celsius, but that the reason neither of us were burned to a crisp or crushed by the atmosphere was because our friendship was so strong. He took out a needle and I let him pierce my ear. We both wore studded earrings. After 6 months of wearing a studded earring, you're allowed to put in a gold sleeper earring. But on Jupiter, 6 months is 6 years back home. But we didn't mind waiting. We were both wearing jorts as electrical storms, unlike anything you have ever seen, loomed above. Elon remarked that these storms were like Dante's vision of hell. I said I didn't know what that meant. So we started talking about snooker, and we wondered whether you could play snooker on Jupiter. With such extreme atmospheric pressure, Elon reckoned he could figure out a way to do it, and I believed him. Jorts are like shorts, but they are made out of denim. So it means jean shorts, but we just say jorts, which is a portmanteau of both words, because we don't have time to say jean shorts. Because we're too busy having fun on Jupiter, so we just say jorts instead. Thank you very much, Michael Fassbender. That was fantastic. That was quite touching and moving. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast and for sending that in. A few people have been remarking the last two or three podcasts about the sound of my fire alarm in the background. You're going to hear a beeping noise. I think it's every 15 seconds or something. And it's been present in the podcast for the last 3 or 4 weeks. There it was there. I'm not fully sure what the crack is. First off, as you know, I'm up the fucking walls. So I think what it is... I think the house alarm is connected to the mains of the house, right? And the battery is going or is gone in the house alarm, which means I have to go up and change the battery. But the thing is, if it's beeping, that means it's also connected to the mains of the house. So I'm now cautious about going up and changing the battery on the fucking fire alarm, because I'm like, do I have to turn the electricity off in the gaff? And I went online to check out, and apparently I do have to turn off the electricity in the gaff to change this fucking battery in the house alarm. And I don't know nothing about fuse boxes. It's a job I could do. It's a job I could do, but I don't have the hour or whatever it would take to Google how to do it and then successfully change the battery and not get fucking electrocuted. Coupled with the fact, to be honest as well, I've got tinnitus, so my entire existence, my life is one non-stop, forever, continual beep in my ears that's been there for 5 years now at this point, continual beep, continual one-stop, continual hissing, high-pitched sound in my ear, so I don't really take any notice of the fire alarm. Apologies to anyone who's sensitive to it. I don't know, let's imagine it as, some type of mechanical bird. Imagine I've just, instead of having like a canary, a real life canary that I've quite cruelly kept in a cage, instead I have this magnificent canary made out of wires who doesn't have to suffer and gives out an intermittent beep every 15 seconds. There he goes. So that's just until until I've enough time to sort out this fucking fire alarm, I think we're going to have to put up with it. There's nothing I can do. Like, it's in another room, but the thing is that the nature of high-pitched sounds, when the way sound travels, if a sound is incredibly high-pitched, there's nothing you can fucking do. That will, high-pitched sounds travel in the way that low-pitched sounds don't. That's why, I don't know, if you went to see a live band and everything is fucking guitars plugged in, drums, the whole lot, and it's really loud, the one instrument you'll get away with not plugging in is a tambourine. Notice that the next time you go to a gig, because it operates on a frequency that can cut through all others. So we're going to have a little bit of intermittent beeping, and it's grand. We'll deal with it, alright? Mechanical chirping bird, I don't have time to sort it out. It's too small a job to merit calling out an electrician. And I've got plenty of buddies who are electricians, but it's like, you don't ring up your friend who's an electrician and ask him a question to do with their profession. You just don't, because it's like if you've got a buddy who's a fucking doctor, you're not going to ring him up and say, can I send you a photograph of the inside of my throat? Can you tell me if I've got an infected throat? Can I send you a photograph of the inside of my throat? You're not going to do that to someone who's a doctor. So I'm not ringing up one of my buddies who's an electrician and going, how do I sort out this alarm? Because it's too small a job to call you out and give you the 70 quid. So I have bigger fish to fry as well, lads. I've much bigger things on my plate than an intermittent rhythmic beeping of a fire alarm. So there you go. For anyone wondering about my two solitary bees, the solitary leafcutter bees that I have living in a bee hotel out my back garden, doing fantastically, doing brilliantly. I saw the cutest thing in the world last week. So the bee hotel, if you can imagine the top of it, where the attic would be, we'll say, there's just loads of sticks of bamboo. So it's, you know, small little bamboo sticks, circumference of a penny, we'll say. And these little holes, kind of like a honeycomb, there's loads of little holes beside each other. That's where the solitary bees are interested in going in and out of. And I go there, if I look at it at like after sunset, I can look into one of the holes and you see the little bee inside sleeping. She sleeps inside there. And I'd take a little squint in, no movement, fast asleep. But what's so fucking cute is right beside, we'll say, the chamber where she sleeps, that bamboo, exactly next door is the one that's all stuffed up with the leaves that she's cut. But that's where her babies are. So this little bee sleeps right next door to her babies, which I think is just so class. Do you know? Like, it's a bee hotel. So each one of these little fucking bamboos is the room in a hotel. And technically there's about 40 rooms. And her and her children are on the third floor. They're in room 301 and she's in room 302. She could be up at the penthouse if she wanted to. You know, up on number 7. But she's not. She's sleeping next door to her little larvae, which I find amazing. I just find it amazing because I'm not trying to project feelings on top of the bee. I don't know what the crack is, but I just find that kind of endearing, and it gave me a little flutter in my heart. It did. It made me, when I saw it, it made me more committed to protecting them and minding them and making sure that those little bees get born. Okay, quick update. Okay, second fucking update. Right, how do I explain this? Did you just hear a popping noise just there? Okay, let me explain what just happened there. A bit of podcast drama. So when I said there, quick update, what I'd done is I had paused the podcast and said to myself, do you know what? Fuck it. I should not have the beeping sound of a smoke alarm interfering with the podcast, because a couple of people said it was annoying them, and then the fact that I was trying to rationalise it as this beeping bird, I was going, do you know what? It's actually annoying me, and I'm kind of pissed off at myself that I'm too busy to deal with it. So what happened was, I stopped the podcast and turned off everything at the mains in the house to deal with the fucking smoke alarm. I looked up online very quickly. Look, what do? The smoke alarm was in this weird place at the top of the fucking stairs, which meant me going on a little ladder, and I would have had to reach over. It's in a queer place, basically. It's at the top of the fucking stairs. Whoever put it there is an idiot. It's at a queer place. So I got up on a little step ladder, pitch fucking dark, because I turned off literally everything in the house, because I don't know nothing about fuse boxes. So I turned off everything and I was using the torch on my phone because I'm recording this late. So I climbed on the stepladder to reach up towards the smoke alarm, and basically it was a bit of a stretch, and right underneath me at my knees is the fucking stairs. Now I'm alone in the gaff, it's just me. So I'm going, holy fuck. So I have to reach up to this smoke alarm in the dark. My phone's on the ground with the light pointing up. So I have to reach up to this smoke alarm in the dark. Reach across over a stairs with like a 12-foot drop and try and insert a screwdriver in there. And I'm not handy. I'm not fucking DIY handy. And insert a screwdriver, because that's what it said on the side of it. It said insert a screwdriver and gently pull the thing. But whatever fucking idiot has installed the smoke alarm, like I said, it requires me to stand on a stepladder, reach across, and legitimately put myself at risk of falling 12 feet or down the stairs while I'm in the gaff on my own. So I said, no fucking way, not happening. So I went to plan fucking B. I got a hold of a Hurley, and I said, fuck it, the power's off, I need to sort out this fire alarm situation, or the smoke alarm, I'm not having it beeping. Whatever damage I do, I'll pay for it, it'll be grand. So I had the light on the ground, and I took a clean swing at the smoke alarm, a good heavy fucking swing, and I knocked the smoke alarm out off its fixture, and it was clean, it's fine. So the bit that's supposed to be stuck to the ceiling is still there, but the bottom part that was making the noise with the battery is gone. So I'm there at the top of the stairs. Swing the Hurley, knock it off. The bottom part, which includes the battery, goes flying down the stairs. Okay? So once that gets to the bottom of the stairs, I'm like, great, problem solved. I go and I turn the lights back on, and the piece that's left on the ground is still making that fucking beeping noise. Even though the battery, the 9-volt battery, has broken free of it. So there's obviously another battery in there, like those really tiny ones you put into a watch, and that's still making the beeping sound. So I got that bit, and now that's upstairs under a series of jackets, still beeping, but not so much that you hear it. But here's the mad dramatic part. I'm going to replay this bit for you. When I said, quick update, I'm going to replay this right now, and I want you to listen for the sound. So here we go. You heard this earlier. Okay, quick update. Did you fucking hear that banging sound? So that was a replay. Here it is once again. Wait. So that noise, that cracking noise, happened about 5 minutes after I'd taken the smoke alarm down. I turned all the power back on. I'd gone back into the studio. I'd turned the computer back on. I'd set up all the equipment again and was ready to record the podcast to say to you, I've just removed the smoke alarm. I'm here on my own in the gaff, and then I hear that fucking bang out in the hallway. So I immediately at that moment press fucking stop on the record button, because I'm like, okay, there's now someone in the gaff. What the fuck is that? The two cats aren't allowed in. So I go out into the fucking hallway. Ye heard that. And I heard it as well. So I go out into the fucking hallway going, what the fuck is this? I go upstairs to find the Harley in case it's a robber. So now I'm walking around the gaff trying to see, is there a person here? Because I'm the only fucking person here. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck was that noise. So then I look down onto the ground. And the 9-volt... So basically, when I had lashed the smoke alarm off the ground, the 9-volt battery was on the ground outside the studio door. And it exploded. So that's what that sound was. That was the sound of an exploding fucking battery. Which scared the living shit out of me, because I'm here on my own. So, what a dramatic, what a bizarre and dramatic start to this week's fucking podcast. This is up there with the time the Tomcat interrupted. What are the odds? What are the odds of me saying, there's the sound of a smoke alarm, we're going to have to deal with it, then saying, no, fuck it, we shouldn't have to deal with it, then turning the lights off, baiting it with a Harley, and the battery fucking exploding? Well, that's what happened. I'm shook after that. It's a bit gas as well, though. It is kind of funny. Do you know what? Yeah, no, I'm glad. I am glad to have... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about recording the podcast, having definitely not only heard the sound, a clear sound of a violent bang outside the door, and then also having recorded evidence of it. Imagine I wasn't able to look on the ground and notice, oh, the battery has exploded. The top of it came off, basically. Whatever went on. So imagine me not having found what the fuck that noise was. I don't think I'd have come back into this fucking studio and just said, ah, sure, noises like that just happen when you're in the gaff on your own. I wouldn't, like, because I can, and I wouldn't be able to say to myself, maybe I imagined the bang, or it was outside, because I can listen back to when it was recorded, and I'd go, I know by the acoustics of that bang that it most definitely happened in the hallway outside. So I'm so glad that I could see that that was a fucking battery that did that. Because I'd be shitting it. I don't have a lock for the fucking studio door, like, you know. I'd have to go on a ghost ramble. Because I looked at all the windows, all the doors, so I'm like, this is locked as fuck, so there's no way there's a person or an animal in the gaff. So, I think the anxiety part of myself, I'd have to start entertaining poltergeists. Where would my head have gone? Yeah. I'd have probably gone irrational like that, because the house... A person lived here before who died. And from what I know, the person in the gaff was like a builder. And they built a lot of stuff in the house. And they did a lot of really stupid things in the gaff. They did like... tried to renovate the attic, and there's a lot of stuff in the house that's done really badly. A bit of wiring that's done bad, fixtures that are done bad, tiles that are done really shit, because the person who lived here like 10 years ago was a tradesman, and I think they specialised in like one thing. And I found this out from the neighbours. They specialised in one thing, but they used to have a go at everything, so that's why the tiles are shit, or the odd fixture is shit, and I'm guessing it's why the smoke alarm is in such a really, really bad place, whereby in order to change it like a normal human being, you have to risk falling to your death. So if I didn't find that battery, and knowing my propensity towards anxious, irrational thoughts, I would probably be entertaining the idea that me knocking that fucking, aggressively knocking that smoke alarm with the Harley, I would say to myself, that smoke alarm was put there in that awkward place by the man who used to live here 10 years ago, who died, and me taking a Harley to it has somehow awakened his spirit, and now I've got a fucking poltergeist on my hands. Because there would be no other rational way for me to explain why we all definitely heard a loud bang outside the door. So thank fuck I found that little battery and saw that. There's a part of me now that wants to double check. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going to be irrational. I saw the battery on the ground. There was evidence of a little wet patch where whatever acid or something had come out of it. And I could see that it was visibly kind of distressed and burnt. And then I took the battery and I fucked it out into the garden because I'm like, you're not going to explode anymore. But where else am I going to go? I'd have to be an irrational, worried man now. Because I don't, like I've said before, I will never allow a Wednesday go by where there's no podcast. Like, I'm just not doing it. Like, even if I got, do you know that really bad food poisoning where you can't move, where it's almost a spiritual experience? Even if I got that, I'd do something. I'd put out a live podcast. I'd maybe talk through how terrible my illness was. So I don't think I'd cower in the studio terrified of a poltergeist. I'd have to talk you through it. And I'd have some very worried DMs in the morning going, Blind Boy, I usually like the podcast, but the one you put out this morning where you were cowering with a Harley trying to convince us that your gaff was being haunted by a builder who lived there 10 years ago, I'm afraid I found that very irrational and I just want to know how you're getting on. That'd be my day tomorrow if I didn't find that fucking battery. So that's the best thing that has happened this evening, is I'm not entertaining that degree of fucking irrationality. Because where else would I go? I'd have to go there. I would just simply have to. There's no other explanation as to why we heard that. I didn't think those fucking batteries could explode at all. They're the square batteries, 9-volt batteries. You know, the square ones. Now, I know they're fucking, like, the only batteries that I worry about exploding are batteries in vapes. Occasionally people who have vapes, if they get a dodgy vape, the battery can explode in their fucking pocket. And a lot of people have gotten like third degree burns from vapes exploding in their pocket. Now, this battery, when it exploded, there wasn't a smell or anything. So it was just kind of like a pop that he heard it. So it wasn't flames or fire or anything. But there was a bit of a burny looking thing. So there was obviously some type of spark. But geez, wouldn't that be ironic? Wouldn't it be ironic if I knock the smoke alarm off, so therefore it doesn't work anymore, and then if that battery had exploded later and caused a fire, wouldn't that be so ironic? But luckily that didn't happen. It's out in the garden now, so no worries. But like, I know loads of people, so yeah, those 9-volt batteries, like, I think something like 80 people a year around the world die from licking those batteries. Because, do you know the way it's sometimes when you're a kid? Now, don't try this at home, because literally look it up, like 80 people die a year. They're the batteries that when you're a kid, you lick the top of it, or you get your friend to lick it, because it gives you a little tingly shock and it's horrible, but people do it. Don't lick those batteries. Yep, 80 people a year actually die from those. I'm still fucking weirded out and shook by that. Do you know what? For the fucking crack. Just because this podcast has now been completely derailed into a conversation about a battery and a builder's poltergeist, I'm going to pause. And that banging, the popping sound that we recorded, the popping of that 9-volt battery, I'm going to sample that sound, right? Play it on my keyboard, and I'm going to make a quick song about the poltergeist using the popping sound as an instrument. And I'll do it in the style of Christy Moore. because Christy Moore, I know for a fact, listens to this podcast, because I did a Vicar Street gig and Christy actually showed up and he came backstage and we had a chat and he was the soundest man going. And I think I might have said it before, what I found particularly endearing is, like, Christy Moore doesn't have to pay for gigs. He's Christy Moore. Christy Moore can go to any fucking gig in Ireland and they'll be like, it's Christy Moore, come into the gig. So when Christy came to my gig and he was backstage, he made a point of showing, sticking the two tickets for my gig out of his top pocket to make a point of showing me that he'd actually paid for tickets and didn't get in as a freebie, which I wouldn't have mind. I'd be like, Christy, come to my gig for free. For fuck's sake, you're more than welcome. But I found that very endearing that he had the two fucking tickets sticking out of the pocket to let me know that he paid for the gig. I found that lovely. Right, so yeah, so I'm going to do a song about the Builder's Ghost and I'm going to use the exploding battery sound. I'm going to sample that and that's going to be the beat and I'll build something around it and try and do it in the style of Christy Moore. And I'm going to pause now, go off and make it and then come back to you. So I'm now back. After all the talk of Christy Moore, I tried to write it in the style of Christy Moore and it's just, it wasn't what was coming to me. Instead, I made a song that sounds like more like Prefab Sprout, like a Limerick version of Prefab Sprout. So apologies to Christy. It's just, do you know what? I came across a synthesizer sound and when I started playing that synthesizer, it reminded me of Prefab Sprout and then the melody went there and before I knew it, I was miles out of Christy territory. So apologies, Christy, and Paddy McAloon from Prefab Sprout, if you listen. Here's a song about a poltergeist which uses an exploding battery as the percussion and it's inspired by Prefab Sprout, I suppose. God bless.
The ghost of a builder is haunting my old house. He lives inside the fireplace and he's married to a mouse. He rattles in the chimneys, he tries to frighten me. He tries to climb inside my mouth and pull out all my teeth. The poltergeist of a builder. The poltergeist of a builder who's married to the mouse. They have 20 children and they're half ghost and they're half mouse. They don't need to chew and gnaw, 'cause they can walk through walls. Their heads glow in the dark, there's haunted come inside their balls. The poltergeist of a builder. The poltergeist of a builder. Have you ever seen a rodent whose father is a ghost? If you give me 20 euro, I'll send one in the post. And you'll make lots of friends because you own a mouse's ghost. You'll make lots of friends because you own a mouse's ghost. It's the poltergeist of a builder. The poltergeist of a builder.
Right, so there you go. Hold on, where's the fucking piano? The background piano is gone now. Yeah, that was that took me the bones of fucking 40 minutes. There's the piano. That took me the bones of 40 minutes, so I don't know, will I be meeting the full 1 hour pint of this podcast this week. This podcast has been derailed. It has been derailed. This was supposed to be, I was going to speak about mental health this week. I was going to do something possibly related to CBT or something like that, but then that incident with the fucking exploding battery was too nuts. And then, I don't know, it just hit me. I bet you I can make a fucking beat out of that banging noise. And most importantly, I'm dying to make tunes. Absolutely dying. Because I normally, what I would do, like we'll say 6 months ago, I'd do nearly 2 songs a week. Just sitting down, kind of nonsense, silly stuff like that. Just finding a nice sound, a nice like synthesizer sound or a beat, and writing lyrics about whatever the fuck comes into my head. But then mostly trying to find what you're looking for is a nice catchy melody. So you could, the lyrics don't really matter when it comes to a demo, do you know what I mean? You say anything you want that comes into your head, but what you're mostly looking for is a nice catchy melody. And then I would do something like that, send it across to Mr. Chrome, and if Chrome listens to it and goes, Jesus, that's catchy, then we would rework lyrics or rework the production or do something, and then after many, many passes, end up with a final song. But yeah, fuck it, I miss doing music so much, and because I've been so busy. Normally what I'd do is I'd have a couple of cans in it or a bit of Baldy on a weekend and just take out my guitar and take out my fucking keyboard and have crack, bit of musical flow if possible, and see what happens. And 90% of the time it's not something to use, but then 10% of the time it is. You have to throw shit at a wall when it comes to music. You have to throw shit at a wall, and it might work and it might not. But even doing that now was an absolute fucking pleasure, because I was able to slot it into my podcast recording time to get that done. And I'd already gone too far talking about the exploding batteries and the smoke alarm saga. So quite an unexpected podcast turn for me. Are we going to do the fucking pause? Again, I don't know where the fucking ocarina is. It's somewhere. So what I'm going to do, instead of an ocarina pause this week, I'll reintroduce that, the exploding battery noise. So we'll have exploding, rhythmic exploding battery noise is this week's ocarina pause. So if you hear an exploding battery, there may be an advert. There you go. Right, that was the exploding, rhythmic exploding.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
9-volt battery pause. So, an advert might have gone in there. The usual shit, lads. Podcast is supported by the Patreon page, patreon.com/theblindbypodcast. If you enjoy the podcast, if you listen to it regularly, and you're taking something from it, you can buy me the equivalent of a cup of coffee or a pint once a month. by going to the Patreon page, patreon.com/theblindbuypodcast, and become a subscriber. Please do. It is the Patreon that allows me to violently dislodge my smoke alarm with a Hurley. And luckily I didn't take the... I could have fucking knocked it out of the ceiling and then I would have had a plaster job. So fuck that. But no, it didn't. It was grand. I just... It's a... Again, like I said, that smoke alarm is legitimately in the gaff. It said on it... what was it? Replace in 2013. So I think that smoke alarm went in there around 2004 or something like that. I don't know. Whenever this gaff had that builder living in it. But it was definitely... Definitely himself, because he owned the gaff and now it's like a rented gaff. But that's the crack. What will I talk about for the remaining time? Okay. I'll tell you one thing about the smoke alarm. So when the smoke alarm came off the ceiling and I was looking at it, one thing I did see that I found quite alarming is there was that nuclear sign was on the smoke alarm, and the actual fucking, like you'd see in Chernobyl, nuclear material was on this smoke alarm. And I don't know, is that, because that's an old smoke alarm, is that on modern smoke alarms or just old ones? But it reminded me of a story that I will tell you about a fella called the Nuclear Boy Scout. And it's the smoke alarm that's bringing me back to this story. So this is a true thing. It's a real thing that happened. And when the fuck did it happen? It was the mid-90s in America, in either Chicago or Detroit. So there's this young fella called David Hahn. And he was 15 or 16, younger, maybe 14. And he was a Boy Scout. And the thing with Boy Scouts in America is... I think they have different patches. So you earn all these Boy Scout patches. There's like 200 or 300 of them. And you earn like... I don't know. If you are able to make a fire with a twig, you earn your fire patch. And if you're good at sewing, you own a sewing patch. So this young fella who was a Boy Scout earned all his patches. And one of the patches was like a nuclear patch. Now, I was going, what the fuck? Why did the Boy Scouts even have a nuclear patch? So I think it was probably something that came out of the Cold War. And just some very simple knowledge of what nuclear substances are, or what, you know, nuclear physics is. Very rudimentary nuclear knowledge would get you this Boy Scout nuclear patch. So anyway, David Hahn got his Boy Scout nuclear patch when he was 12 or 13. And he became very, very fascinated with nuclear physics, right, to the point of obsession as a teenager. Very, very obsessed. Now, as we all know, you know, from watching either Homer fucking Simpson or from watching Chernobyl, and from even seeing, like, here's the mad thing, from watching, like, even somewhere like Iran trying to build functional reactors or to get nuclear material, being a nuclear physicist is not easy. Not at all. So, this David Hahn young fella starts to pretend that he's a science teacher and ended up sending letters to, like, the United States. What was it? It was some college. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission in America. He starts sending them letters and pretending that he's a high school science teacher. And learning what he can about nuclear physics from books. And then anytime there's a hole in his knowledge, he would contact this commission, pretending to be a high school science teacher, and ask the questions that he couldn't find through regular books. And they would respond. So he ended up amassing this knowledge. And eventually, he used to go down to his shed. He's literally a back garden, normal shed with really shitty equipment, like a fucking a gas mask and rubber gloves, right? And he figured out through reading and through contacting this commission, of the various nuclear materials that he would need to build a nuclear reactor, we'll say, okay? So there was a few different fucking sources. So the nuclear material exists in certain household places. It's hard to find. One of them is smoke detectors. That's why I said when I opened that smoke detector and I saw this nuclear symbol, I'm like, holy fuck, you don't see one of them every bloody day in Ireland. But it made me remember this David Hahn young fella. So he collected as many smoke alarms as he could. And whatever tiny amount of nuclear material is in the smoke alarm, he collected enough of them that he now had a load of nuclear material together in one from all these smoke alarms. Then he went, certain clocks have a different type of nuclear material, so he collected as many clocks as he could that had nuclear material. I think for one situation, so there was this awful tragedy in the 1950s in America, okay? The Americans weren't that responsible with nuclear material in the 50s, in the atomic age. So there were these glow-in-the-dark children's clocks, okay? So these clocks, like a clock you'd have in your room at night time, and then the hands on the clock would glow green in the dark. But in the 1950s, the reason these little clocks glowed green is because they were painted with actual radioactive paint, and they didn't fully understand the health and safety. So I think they were called the nuclear girls or the nuclear women, but these clocks, children's clocks anyway, the hands were being painted by these young women who worked in a factory, and they had tins of this nuclear paint, and they were painting the clocks to make them glow in the dark. And I think a lot of them like died. There was a huge, they had no safety equipment. They didn't seem to know that this nuclear material was bad. So there was this huge scandal where a lot of these girls died, and then all of these clocks were taken off the market. So I think David Hahn, the nuclear boy scout, managed to get his hands on, and fair play to him, because in 1995 there was no fucking eBay. He managed to get his hands on a lot of these clocks and to scrape the nuclear paint, I think it was uranium, from these clocks. The other source of nuclear material was it gun sights? Certain gun sights used another type. So he managed to find it all. And then he used to take apart batteries for lead, and I don't know the names of the chemicals, but he found the household sources for every piece of material that somebody would need to build a nuclear reactor. So he set about doing it in his fucking shed. And incredibly unsafe, he starts fucking around and manages to build the bones of a functioning nuclear reactor in his shed. And what happened was, so if you've seen Chernobyl, you'll understand the absolute devastating effects of leaked nuclear material, how dangerous that can be to humans. So, especially America, who, like 1995, okay, that's after the collapse of the Soviet Union, but it's also close enough to the Soviet Union. So, most places around America, they would have laboratories that would test the soil, air and water at all times for any possible spike in nuclear material, because that could mean a nuclear attack. It could mean, you know, a power station is in meltdown. It could mean a dirty bomb. It could mean an actual nuclear attack. So this David Hahn fella's in his back garden shed with an ordinary gas mask on. He's a fucking teenager. And rubber gloves, marigold gloves. And this reactor he's after making starts to emit like way more nuclear radiation than the area was used to. So it sparks a fucking crisis, and the FBI get involved. So I think his ma ended up coming home from work, and their entire neighbourhood for miles around, like crawling with FBI, like the end of fucking E.T. And it's full of people in hazmat suits. And this young fella out his back garden caused a genuine nuclear environmental incident where the FBI had to fucking show up. And they couldn't believe it, obviously. They're like, what the fuck? Some young fella's after building a nuclear reactor in his back garden? I mean, they took it away and they buried it and covered it in lead or whatever you do. The mad thing about it is that what's scary is that if this young fella can do it in his back garden, that means that like a terrorist organization with the right knowledge could similarly copy what he did and build enough nuclear material to make a dirty bomb. A dirty bomb is, it's not a nuclear bomb as in a big huge one that blows up and goes boom. It's more like a normal conventional bomb. But when it explodes, it spreads a shit ton of nuclear material into the atmosphere and could cause widespread radiation poisoning. And like the CIA's main job and like MI5 and Mossad, their whole thing is trying to stop the likes of ISIS getting their hands on nuclear material so that in case they'd make something like a dirty bomb and put it into a New York subway or the London Underground. It's a big thing to try and stop doing. So this young fella, yeah, quite harmlessly, that's the thing, he wasn't malicious, he didn't want to do anything bad, he was just obviously incredibly gifted and very, very obsessive and made this fucking functioning a kind of simple nuclear reactor in his shed. I don't think he was arrested because he was so young, but he didn't. His ma died by suicide a year later. I think he took that very badly because he was a teenager. But I saw a documentary about him. There's a documentary, I think the documentary might be called The Nuclear Boy Scout. Well worth watching because I'm only pulling this out of the top of my head. That was 95. I remember it was about 10 years later, mid-2000s. He was caught again. I think he was caught breaking into a school and robbing a shitload of fire alarms. And the FBI, because he did go on a watch list, obviously, because the thing is, jeez, he'd be a kidnapping target. Do you know, if someone wanted someone to make them nuclear materials, what better man to kidnap than himself? So he would have been watched quite closely. So the FBI caught him about 10 years later, robbing fire alarms out of a school. So, I'm sorry, Mr. Han, but what the fuck are you doing robbing fire alarms, only messing around with some nuclear shit again? So that's most likely what he was doing. And he died 2 years ago, I think, because I remember seeing it popping up on my Twitter feed in The Guardian or something. Yeah, just a really fucking sad end. He ended up addicted to fentanyl or morphine or something. There's that awful shit that destroys OxyContin, maybe. That shit that's destroying America at the moment, these incredibly powerful opioids that sure didn't kill Prince. Prince had a fentanyl back patch, which fentanyl is like 100 times more powerful than heroin, and it's prescribed as a pain medication in America. That's the weird thing with America. Drugs like OxyContin and fentanyl, in Ireland, they tend to only prescribe these things for people who are actually dying, you know? But in America, they'll just give them to somebody who's got a sore back. There's a kind of a conspiracy theory that they deliberately get veterans addicted to OxyContin and fentanyl because there's such a huge rate of deaths as a result that on a large scale, it means that the US government and military doesn't have all these veterans that they have to be supporting into old age. Now, that's a conspiracy theory, but you never know. They're evil fuckers. So yeah, he decided. What are we, 50 minutes? I'm going to call it 50 minutes this week, which is quite short for my podcast. I usually do an hour or a little bit more, but I spent a good deal there doing that song. And I'll be back next week with, I don't know, a hot take or maybe a mental health podcast. I'll have a think about it. I'll see. I'm still stuck in the middle of the editing stages of my book, so that's quite intense, but that is coming to an end, so looking forward to that. Alright, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. God bless. Have a lovely time. If you're haunted by a poltergeist in your house, let me know. Maybe it's an exploding battery. Maybe there's a fully rational explanation, like we had this week for my poltergeist. That's not a poltergeist at all. I did enjoy this episode. It was a real bizarre saga of events that I certainly didn't predict, but it was good crack. It's a toss-up between this and the time I was interrupted by the Tomcat in terms of episodes that end up in a direction I was not aware of whatsoever. Right, enjoy the bit of summer that's left. Be sound to yourself, be sound to your neighbours. Keep an eye on yourselves. Have a bit of self-compassion. Be compassionate for other people. What more can you do? Right? Find something that gives you a sense of meaning in your day. Whatever that is. Anything that gives you a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose. Do that and you will drift towards happiness. Yurt. Actually, one thing before I go, because I'll be murdered. I almost bloody forgot this. I'm doing the first ever Cork Podcast Festival, which is, hold on now, because I'm just after pulling up the fucking email. It's the first ever Park Confest Festival, Cork Podcast Festival. So I'm doing my own gig there, obviously. It's between October 11th and the 13th. I'm playing on the 13th of October in the Cork Opera House. That's my gig, right? But not only am I gigging, or not only am I doing a live podcast at the Cork Podcast Festival, I'm also curating a few podcasts, which means at the podcast festival, there's going to be some podcasts on, which I have chosen. And they're kind of like Blind Boy Presents or something. So the ones that are there so far, Tara Flynn is going to be doing her Taranoia podcast in the Crawford Art Gallery. Colly Ennis, who was on, he's going to be doing live Crittershed podcast with Colette Kinsella. He's doing that in the Crawford Art Gallery as well. Conor Habib might be. I'm not sure if that's confirmed yet. Conor Habib might be doing his podcast. But they're going to be, yeah. And Brett the Hitman Hart is doing a podcast at it. I'm not curating Brett the Hitman Hart's podcast, but he's at the Cork Podcast Festival. So, I don't know, how'd you get tickets? I'm sure if you fucking type it into Google, Cork Podcast Festival, it'll give you everything you need to know. Right, so just doing that so I don't get the head boxed off me by the two promoters. Have a good one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.